Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, my name is Marcus Jarvis. I'm an immigration attorney here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. We're here today to speak about immigration waivers. Well, in a perfect world, one would not need a forgiveness, but sometimes people may commit crimes against the immigration laws or, you know, present some sort of fraud or misrepresentation, and all is not out for you. You have an opportunity to maybe get some sort of forgiveness. So today we're going to be speaking about immigration waivers, some of the waivers. The first one is you come across a lot of people who are what you call immigration overstays, or they came in without being inspected or paroled at a port of entry. So if a spouse who is a U.S. citizen files a petition for a spouse, obviously, who came in without the proper documents, in other words, not inspected or admitted at the border, that person has to go back to his or her respective consulate to be processed. And sometimes you go out and you could be out of the country for an extended period of time, maybe a year or two. So the government in 2013, January 3rd, I believe, implemented what's called the I-601A waiver. And that waiver is approved in the USA before you continue the final processing to where your file goes to your respective consulate. You fly out to that consulate, you get processed, and then the waiver kicks in to where your stay abroad could be as little as 2 weeks. In the alternative, let's say you didn't get the I-601A waiver, you may avail yourself to the I-601, just the pure I-601. The I-601 covers a broader spectrum of infractions against the U.S. immigration laws. For example, if you had a petty theft, you could use that. If you committed some sort of fraud or misrepresentation, you might be able to use that. So always get the help of a competent immigration attorney to help you with all immigration matters, no matter what it is. A lot of people try to do it on their own, but they end up in more problems than what's desired. Also, if you came into the USA, some countries may give you what's called a J-1 visa. And sometimes a J-1 visa has what's called a residency requirement. You usually see it has a residency requirement. That simply means that you have to go back to your country that assisted you with the J-1 visa to give 2 years of service back to that country. And you normally find that with individuals who are more qualified, maybe nurses, doctors, you know, something to that effect. However, you can get a J-1 visa for just for maybe working on a farm, maybe a cattle farm, maybe a farm that produces fruits. You know, usually they don't implement a residency requirement. So you need to check your residency requirement to see if you have to go back to your country or you could stay in the USA. And these would be required before you can adjust your status in the USA. In other words, can get your green card in the USA, as an example. Sometimes individuals get deported from the USA for whatever reason. And in order for that person to travel back to the USA, you'd have to secure what's called a deportation waiver before you can obtain your green card abroad. the waiver is required as it relates to the residency requirement. It is called the I-612, and most of these forms can be found at uscis.gov. Click on the link that says forms, and you're all ready to go. I was expecting some individuals to call today so we can speak to other matters. A green card allows you to live and work in the USA. When you have a green card, you should not make any claims, or whether you have a green card or not. If you're not a US citizen, you should not make any claims to being a citizen for any benefit. A lot of time you see individuals, in order to work, they may check on the I-9 that they're US citizens, and that's a no-no. Claiming to be a U.S. citizen when you're not can prevent you, you can find yourself in deportation. For example, if you're registered to vote and or voted in general elections in particular. So be careful. A lot of people claim to be a U.S. citizen to work. That's a no-no. You can be prevented from getting a green card. There are some other benefits that you may be able to receive. For example, if you claim to be a U.S. citizen, you may still avail yourself to TPS, but still TPS, as an example, still keeps you in a non-immigrant status. You're not moving towards immigrant status. So be careful on that. So the green card allows you to live and work in the USA and travel as much as you can. But do not vote, do not try to hold a U.S. passport. And when you're not a citizen, you can't hold certain high-level federal jobs. Actually, even though you're a citizen, there are certain jobs you still cannot hold. You cannot become president of the United States, as an example. And there are a few others. The way one becomes a U.S. citizen, there are four main ways. One way is, if you are born in the U.S., it's automatic that you are born a U.S. citizen. If you won the diversity lottery, as an example, you would be processed for a green card at your respective consulate. You travel to the U.S., you spend about 5 years. At the end of 5 years, you show that you're a person of good moral character. In other words, you don't have any serious crimes. You know, you've paid your taxes. Things like that, you haven't lied or misrepresented yourself, you can become a naturalized U.S. citizen. If you, let's say your parents won the lottery, as a child you came with your parents, you're at a tender age, and before you turn 18, either parent became a U.S. citizen, you're grandfathered in as a citizen, and that's what's called derivative citizenship. Also, if one parent is a U.S. citizen and a child was born outside of the USA and you follow certain additional requirements, you can become a U.S. citizen. And this is called birth abroad, birth outside of the USA. So those are the four main categories. If we evaluate naturalization, sometimes you can get around the 5-year requirement if you're married to a United States citizen spouse and you obtain your green card through that citizen, you may be able to apply for become a United States citizen at 3 years, actually at 2 years, 9 months, you can complete the application. Bear in mind that there's a requirement that the United States citizen spouse presents him or herself at the interview. And that person, the United States citizen spouse, can be interviewed. They, in these situations, they normally separate the parties and interview them separately because they want to make sure that the marriage is genuine. Sometimes if you're in the military and your spouse is stationed abroad, the USC spouse is stationed abroad, you might be able to become a U.S. citizen in a much shorter time than 5 years. Also, if your U.S. spouse is working for a company that's contributing to the U.S. economy, in other words, involving trade or commerce that benefits the USA, it could be an affiliate company that you're working for. You might be able to become a United States citizen without the 5 year residency or any sort of time frame requirement. Always get a competent immigration attorney to help you in these matters. If you're on probation for any reason and you are seeking to become naturalized, that will hold you back you just cannot take the oath. You're considered to be a person that doesn't have good moral character. So be careful on committing crimes. There are some crimes that you might be able to overcome, and there are some crimes that you're going to get deported from the USA. A lot of people believe that when you have a green card that you're set, you don't need to worry. But having a green card is no security. Because the only people who have rights to enter the United States are United States citizens, not green card holders. So keep that in mind. Keep in mind also that in the USA, the criminal laws allows you to remain silent. If you have been accused of a crime, that you have a right to remain silent. You don't have to be a witness against yourself. Also, if you were to go to trial, you can remain silent, and neither the judge nor the prosecutor can make a reference to your silence. That would be classified as a mistrial. So try, if you're going to live in the US, try to understand what the laws say. You know, a lot of people may commit crimes, you know, sometimes they appear to be simple. For example, theft crimes can have some serious collateral effects. So try not to commit crimes. Try to be on the right side of the law. In any country, doesn't matter if it's your country of birth, you know, try to avoid that. Marcus Jarvis, I'm an immigration attorney. I have co-authored a book called A Simple Guide to the Immigration Laws of the United States, What You Need to Know When You Come to America. If you miss my contact information, just Google Marcus Jarvis and you should be able to find me on the internet.